marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtrooms, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate. The king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. Happy faces line the hallway. Those whose lives have been redeemed, and broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand on the floor. Those who were crippled, broken, glad in garments white as snow. The king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king, I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, and the flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand stands all in place.
I tell you what, the king is coming. How many of you know the king is coming? There's no doubt Jesus is coming. The signs are everywhere. The evidence is all over the globe. You can't look anywhere without seeing the proof that Jesus is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Now, I want to do a program today on the passion, looking for Jesus to come. The passion. Now, that's what I'm talking about, the passion, looking for Jesus to come. That's probably the greatest passion in Christendom. I don't know of anything in Christendom that could be more exciting than actually looking for Jesus to come. It's personal because he's coming for us. He himself is coming. He's not going to send Michael or Gabriel or some special angel. He's coming in the clouds himself. And we will see him when he comes. We will see him when he comes. If he's coming for you and you're going with him, you're going to see him. You may see him even if you're not going with him. I don't know how it's going to be up there in that heavens, but I know one thing. It'll be visible to us who are going, and could well be visible to those who are not going. So let's talk today about the passion of looking for Jesus to come. This is a passion. See, I've been saved 68 years, going on 69, working on 69. And I remember when it was a passion to talk about Jesus coming. Now, you talk about it. If I have two or three calls a day, I will be blessed, because you do not feel it, most of you. You don't feel it. You don't see it. It's not on your plans. You're not really passionate about his coming. The Bible said, for them that look for him, he will come. I believe looking for him is part of receiving him when he comes. If you're not looking for him, it could all happen. Maybe you would know it, see it, and feel it a little bit, but it could be over, and you would say, I'm left. I didn't go. And what a sadness. Do you know the saddest day of human history will be the day after the rapture for those who did not go, for the multitude who thought they were going, but they were not ready? I mean, I know many people who think they're going, but I watch them and I love them and I pray for them and I care about them, but I can see they're not ready. They're not passionate. They're not overwhelmed with the idea. There's some of you who say you're ready and you hadn't thought about it in weeks. It just doesn't occupy a very important place in your mind. I'm telling you, your mind needs to have a place of occupation for just the passion of the coming of the Lord. The passion of the coming of the Lord. Now, all week this week on Facebook, I've been putting something a little bit mixed up as far as days, but I've been putting something about my passion for the coming of the Lord. And these are basically seven things that I believe it should be the passion of those who are looking for Jesus to come. And that's what I'm going to do the program on today, is these seven passions. Seven passions are ideas for, or reasons, maybe you would call them, for the coming of the Lord, for the passion of the rapture and the coming of the Lord. Are you passionate about it? I want to make you passionate. If I know my heart, I want to make everybody listening to me passionate about the coming of Jesus Christ. I want to make you passionate about what it means, what it's going to be. Now, the number one thing that I believe is a passion for the coming of the Lord, and let me just mention it to you, kind of get started here, and that is, I will see Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, personally, face to face. I will see him as he now is in his glorified state. I will see him as this magnificent one, this triumphant one, this one who has defeated death and hell and the grave and everything that goes with the end of man as we now experience it. He will defeat all of that, and we will see him. We will see him. When the disciples saw him, they were overwhelmed by him through their lifetime. And when he was gone, they wanted him to come back immediately. Did you know the church really expected Jesus to come in their lifetime? Some of Paul's writings reflects their disappointment, because people were dying who were believers, who were looking for Jesus to come. And they were dying. And so they were going to be dead when Jesus came. And Paul had to say, wait, don't get all disturbed. When he comes, he will first resurrect those dead ones. They'll rise in front of you, and then you will rise behind them. See, he was trying to help them understand that Jesus had not already come, because they wanted him to come. They loved him. He was glorious. He was divine. His very presence was like a sunburst at midnight. His very presence was like a sunburst at midnight. I've got a poem by that title, A Sunburst at Midnight. That's what his presence was. It was marvelous. It was wonderful. And so the first passion I have about the coming of the Lord is to see him, to know that he has come for Joseph Chambers. and to know that I am leaving this earthly sphere and ascending upward with a brand new body capable of going right through the stratosphere all the way back to heaven. All the way back to heaven, multiplied millions of light years away, according to scientists, of course, not according to me. But I'm telling you, it's going to be a marvelous trip. It's going to be a marvelous moment when we see Jesus face to face. That's the first passion I have about the coming of the Lord. I know there's other many wonderful things, but I'm telling you, the passion of seeing Him, that should be what grips your heart. That should take a hold of you and possess you. And that's what I wanted to do today. I want to bring you these passions. Excuse me here. I want to bring you these passions and get you excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people need to hear this program. So reach over, you Facebook people, and touch that button called share and let others hear you. See, when you touch that, they'll come and be able to see me and hear me also right with you. And maybe I can say some things that will get a hold of their hearts. Now, seven things that I feel about the passion of the coming of the Lord. And these are prerequisites to be ready. These are my convictions that I be ready. I don't want nothing to keep me out of that rapture. I don't know a thing you could sell me, give me. There's nothing you could tell me about. There's nothing you could give me hope in. There's nothing you could give me that would consume my interest, that would in any way hinder this passion for the coming of the Lord. I am looking for Jesus to come. Unto them that look for Him shall He appear. And I'm looking for Him. I'm telling you, I'm looking for Him. What a blessedness it's going to be when the King comes in all of His wonderful glory. Now, before we get started into that, let me read you a scripture that comes from John 14:1. Jesus, when He was about to be crucified, and His disciples were just overwhelmed, He said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." You say, "I don't believe heaven is a real place." Well, it's got mansions. I hope nobody's made you think it's not a real place. And I hope nobody will make you think it's not going to be a very conscious thing to be there. And I don't hope nobody to make you think that you're not going to see Jesus and all of the saints that have gone on in front of you. I think about Wade Horton, and I think about Ray A. Hughes, and R.P. Spurgeon, and R.P. Johnson, and Earl Polk Sr. And I can just think of one after the other. Saints of the living God. People I've been a pastor to. Bill Osborne. Oh, yes. He went on several years ago. A wonderful brother. Then a brother Odom up at Black Mountain, who was a right hand to me when I was a pastor there. And I can go through so many people that I can hardly wait to see. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to know them even as I am known. They're going to know me even as they are known. That's just the way heaven's going to be. It's not going to be some disembodied, disacquainted, No. It's just going to be a continuation of His old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Bible-loving church, godly saints, holy people who have earned the right to be raptured and are going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. Oh, what a day. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, you know Jesus went there. He appeared to John in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. John saw Him in all of that excellent glory, glorified by the Father, given a name that no other man on the universe could ever have. giving him a position which is over the whole body of the church. I mean, you're talking about some wonderful things when you talk about the passion of seeing Jesus. And he said, I go to prepare a place. That's what New Jerusalem is. The place he prepared. See, it wasn't prepared until he went back to heaven. He made that city, New Jerusalem, 1,500 miles high and wide and square and everything. I mean, a city so magnificent that John had to be carried to an exceeding high mountain to even see it. It was so large and so incredible. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, and John saw it, so we know it's prepared. Oh, what a day. Are you getting ready? Can I get you excited? Can I get you all thrilled and passionate about being ready to meet him in the clouds? Whatever you've got down here don't mean anything. Little homes and little pretty houses and nice little vehicles to drive in and all kinds of luxuries that many of us in America enjoy. You know, I'm amazed at all of it. But I'm telling you, none of that must get in your hearts so that you are not looking with a passion for Jesus to come. I'm telling you now. Let me read you some Hebrews, and this is really powerful scripture. Hebrews chapter. I'm sorry, I got to turn back to the right page here. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me read you the first verse. It says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." I have a little thought I love to tell people. Do you know there's something that God don't know? How many of you know there's something God don't know? You say God knows everything. Well, you got to let him speak for himself. Don't put words in his mouth. Let him say it. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He does not remember your sins that have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. He does not remember your sins that have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. I don't care how dark your iniquities were. I don't care how miserable they made you live and act and conduct yourself. But I'm telling you, your sins and your iniquities will not be remembered if you know they've been washed away by the blood. I wouldn't sit here and shout to you if I didn't know my sins have been forgotten, washed away forever. God will never remember them against me again. Now, if I sin again, then I got to repent. Oh, he will know what I've sinned. He'll know what I've done. Only the blood can wash away a sin that God doesn't remember. And when, I'm sorry, none. Now, where remission of sin there is, there's no more offering for sin. Where there's remission of these, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm talking to you about the passion of the rapture, of going up with Jesus. And the first thing I want to share with you, it's the blood of Jesus washing away your sins that starts the process of your being ready for that rapture. If your sins have never been washed away by the blood, there is no way you can be ready to go in the rapture. That is the beginning point. That is the launching pad. Hallelujah, if I can call it such. That's the place where this life of Christ begins in you. It's when you come to Christ. You repent of your sins. I mean, you repent of them. That means you forsake them. You turn from them. And he washes them away. He washes them away. That's your beginning point of this great rapture. Listen, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our evil conscience, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the blood. That's the word. The pure word, the blood and the word by the Holy Spirit washes away all your sins and makes you a vessel that has been purified and made ready to go with Jesus when he comes. Now, I'm telling you, if you don't live in the blood, you're in trouble. If you don't live in the blood, by the blood, through the blood, you don't just get saved and then go on and do your thing and it automatically has you ready for the rapture. That is not possible. Read the Bible. Look at what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I mean, to me, this is an overwhelming verse, and it's breathtaking. But I keep under my body, Paul said. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Bring it into subjection, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. Did you know there are many people sitting out there listening to me that are actually castaways? They were once wonderfully saved. They was once wonderfully converted, but they didn't keep themselves under the blood. They didn't keep themselves by the grace of God. I'm going to read this again now in case you're trying to doubt it. But I'm telling you, if you're going to go in that rapture, you got to keep your life pure. Paul said, the great apostle, after preaching many years, but I keep under my body. I keep my body under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And brother, you need to read that, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Everybody out there ought to read that a few days in a row to understand if you're not living by the grace of God, you're not ready for no rapture. You're not ready to go with Jesus. He's coming for those who are living in the purity of his blood. Now, let me talk about these seven passions. Number one is I want to see Jesus. I love the thoughts. I'm longing for the moment when I look up on his glorious person, when I see him in his majestic honor and holiness, when I see him in all the fullness of the position the Father's given him, the high priest in the house of God in heaven, the high priest of the house of God. You talk about something grand. You wait till you see Jesus. Every beauty of this world will fade into oblivion. Nothing will seem so beautiful anymore once you look upon the mighty one, the matchless one, the blessed one. Are you understanding me? I have a passion for Jesus. When he saved me, I was a lost dude, I'm telling you. When he saved me, I was a wretched little boy. When he saved me, I didn't deserve to be saved. I was lost, and I was bound with sin, and I was a liar, and a foul mouth, and a thief. I mean, I'm telling you, I needed something, and Jesus came along and wonderfully saved me and made a new creature out of me. And what a blessedness it is. Now, I want to see this one who saved me. I want to see this one who made a new creature out of me. I want to see that blessed Lord. Can anybody raise a hand out there and say, I can't wait to see Jesus? I mean, Peter and those disciples, they couldn't wait to see Jesus again. They'd been in his presence 3.5 years. They loved him. They watched his ministry. They saw his miracles. He was so marvelous. They sent officers to get him. And the Bible speaks of one man who said, never a man spake like this man. Just to hear him say, well done to you, will send glorious joys through all your being, and you will be grateful that you made it. You'll never regret again any sacrifice you made. You'll never regret again any hard places you came through, because once you make it inside and you see the Lord, it's going to be a marvelous day. Now, let me give you these seven passions, and I got to move quickly. I'm going to preach on this tomorrow. I'm going to preach on this subject tomorrow in the morning service, 11 o'clock. And if you can go to the grocery store, you can go to church. Don't give me some lousy excuse. I'm scared to go to church. We're doing all the practicing things, all the careful things. We're doing all the things that will protect you. If you get something because you came here to church, you got it before you came or after you left. Because I'm going to see that you don't get it here. I'm going to make sure there's no bugs in the air. I'm not kidding with you. I'm giving it the best I got. I'm giving it much better than the grocery store is giving it. I'm giving it much better than the drugstore is giving it. I'm giving it much better than almost anywhere you'll go will give you. We'll prepare for you. Because I want you to be saved. And I want you to go to, I want you to get ready for that rapture. I really do. Number two is loving the body, his church. One of the second reason and the second passion that I have in my longing for Christ is until he comes, loving the church, loving the body of Christ. Did you know the church is the body of Christ? Do you know that the house of God is a place he has told you you are responsible to upkeep with your tithe and to attend with your heart to hear? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm telling you, I love the house of God. I'm 68, going on 69. I've given my life for the church. I remember when I got saved, I fell in love with the house of God immediately. I mean immediately. I've never lost even a moment of that passion for the house of God. You see, the reason I love the house of God is this is where his body, the church, meets. And we have fellowship together. We hear the word of God. We sing. We worship. We praise the Lord. And he's coming for his church. The Bible says his church will be his bride. His church will be his bride. Even if you somehow are saved and make it in some other fashion, if you're not part of his body, the church, you cannot be part of his bride. His bride is from the church. Did you know that? That in itself is worth everything the church is. Hallelujah. Now, number two, remember, is how much I love the church. Oh, I'm faithful to the church. I have built three churches with the help of men, my son, a few people that helped me. I did the architect work of all three. I did the design work. I drew the plans. All the construction that we could do, only a few things we hired done. We did the work. And the three churches I built were $10 million. $10 million. And I'm grateful to God for that because that's how much I love the church. I love the church. Now, number three in my passion to go with Jesus is I never loved a pure life more than I love a pure life right now. When you're looking for Jesus to come, you love the feeling of purity that the blood of Jesus creates. You love the feeling of purity that a sanctified mind creates. You love the feeling of being set apart for God, of being pure and holy and living a life that the people can look at you and cannot see you looking like the world, or acting like the world, or cussing like the world, or telling nasty jokes like the world. None of that. I want my life to be pure. That's one of my passions of going in the rapture, is to be so pure that the Lord can't pass me up. To be so pure that the Lord's going to say, that's one of mine down there. I'm going to get him, Father. I'm going to get him. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to think of Christ knowing the people that have been set apart and made pure, that live in a pure life, that live every day under the power of the blood, who live in the word and keep the commandments of God. Jesus said, if you say you know me and do not keep my commandments, you a liar and the truth's not in you. I mean, that's what the Bible says. The Holy Ghost said, the voice of Christ, the Word, said it plain as it can be said. If you say you love me and do not keep my commandments, you are a liar, he said, and the truth is not in you. Number four, one of the great passions of my heart, I want to spend some time here, is weeping for the lost. How much do you care about unsaved people? When you see somebody that you love and you know they don't know the Lord and they're not ready for the rapture, what do you feel? Do you have a passion for them? Do you begin to think in your mind, oh, I would love to see this dear person saved? When you get on your knees at prayer time, do you bear the burdens of those people whom you know are lost and feel their soul upon your heart? And so you weep and cry and pray for Father, I'm not going to quit praying until you save my children and save my grandchildren and save my grandchildren-in-law, my children-in-law, my great-grandbabies. I got to see them all saved. I don't know about you, But I love my family. I love my family. I got a family from Maine here right now visiting with me. And the two little daughters are my granddaughters. My great-granddaughters. Look at them. I'm going to give them up there and let you take a look at them. That's two of my great-granddaughters. Aren't they beautiful? That's Natalie and Emily. Oh man, do I love them. See, we must love our loved ones. We must love everybody out there and have a passion for them. Not just the people we love, not just the kin folks, but anybody that's lost. Here we are in this war of races. Blacks and whites on different sides of issues, and liberals and conservatives on different sides of issues, and Democrats and Republicans on different sides of issues. I mean, we're in almost a war. There's only two races of people on the face of the earth, those racing to heaven and those racing to hell. Did you know that? Only two races. One group is racing to go to heaven, and the other group is racing to go to hell. Which race are you part of? I'm trying to give you something to live by, friend. Something to live by. We must quit fighting with one another, hating one another. There's no hatred in me for nobody. I don't care the differences of our skin colors and our financial positions and our social positions and our academic accomplishments. None of those things count. What really counts is, are you ready for the King to come? Are you looking for Jesus? Are you racing for heaven? I tell you, I'm racing for heaven. Boy, am I in a race. But we got to be soul winners. I remember when I first got saved that almost everybody was committed to being a soul winner. I mean, they had such a passion for people that were lost. They were constantly bringing their neighbors to church and their working friends to church and their kin folks to church. And Sunday night was the evangelistic service, and the service would be bigger than Sunday morning because the sinners would come and they would get saved often. I mean, I remember revivals where 30 and 40 confessed to being saved in one revival. Now, if you get one or two, you feel like you've really, really accomplished something, because we are not caring for the lost. I want you to know something. I'm talking to you out of my heart when I tell you I'm weeping for every one of you that's lost. I may never see you and never know you until we get to heaven. And I believe anybody that gets saved because of me, because of my ministry, my preaching, my teaching, had a man wrote, well, Facebook this week. And he said, I remember Brother Chambers 50 years ago. He came to my mom and daddy's house and knocked on the door. They let him in, and he testified to them. And I was 10 years old, he said. And later after that, I got saved. And I've always remembered this preacher man that came to our house and knocked on our door. He didn't know what he was going to find behind the door when he knocked on it, but he came. And he was just thanking God because I did that 50 years ago. Can you imagine? Well, you see, I want to be a soul winner. Are you a soul winner? Are you after anybody that's lost? How long since you got on your knees to pray and you cried bitter tears running down your cheeks and dropping off your chin on the altar because somebody lost was on your heart? Somebody out of the grace of God, somebody unsaved was on your mind and you were weeping for them. See, that's one thing I'm doing. As I'm looking for Jesus to come, I'm trying to win lost souls to Jesus Christ. I'm praying in the morning that we'll have people saved. I really am. I know this church is fixing to break out in a Holy Ghost revival. Brother Marlon Clark, my prayer partner, and a few others at different times. But him and I meet here every morning except, you know, some very unusual occasions. And we pray an hour to 2 to 3 hours. And I love it. God has become so real to me, I don't know how to describe it. It is just that wonderful. And I'm weeping for your soul all over this globe. I'm weeping for your soul. I'm crying out for you to come to know Jesus and to know the love of Christ. And I believe a Holy Ghost revival is coming to this place. No ifs and ands in my mind. Now, that was number 4. Let me go back and recount them. Number 1, I'm excited about seeing Jesus. Number 2, I am thrilled to death to be a part of his body, the church. I love being part of his body, the church. Number three, I love the knowledge of the blood of Jesus that keeps me sanctified. Sprinkled upon my conscience, the Bible says, making me pure, keeping my heart clean, keeping my thoughts clean. You say, do you have dirty thoughts? I'm like you. I have times when the enemy comes against me. I was coming in this morning at 5:30 to pray. And I had a man just determined to shine his big lights in my face. And I can't see when somebody does it. And I blew my horn at him. And I asked God to forgive me for blowing my horn at him because it frustrated me. And I don't like to feel that kind of frustration. I don't like it. I really don't. So I have to watch me just like you've got to watch you and keep yourself pure. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest when Joe Chambers has preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now remember, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, and you need to memorize it. You need to memorize it, and you need to remember it regular and keep under your body and bring it into subjection. How do you bring your body in subjection? By the power of the blood. And by the word of God. Remember what David said? His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I mean, that's just a Bible responsibility to live in the Bible. So remember, that's number three. And number four is winning the lost at any cost. Winning the lost at any cost. Whatever it costs you to win somebody, say somebody hates you and you get a chance to testify to them. Don't you back up because you know they hate you and because they've been ugly and mean toward you. You got enemies? I got enemies. Yes, I got enemies, but I love them. I love every one of them. Now let me go to number five. I'm filling myself with this word. I know that if I'm going to be ready when Jesus comes, that passion for the coming of the Lord, for those that look for Him. If I look for Him and I'm not living in the Bible and being careful to just write this up on my heart. Do you know at 88, 86, I'll get it right in a minute. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. But did you know at 84, I'll get it right in a minute. At 84, I'm memorizing more scriptures than I ever did. Oh, Brother Chambers, you can't remember scriptures at 84. Don't tell me I can't. I know I am. I mean, this book is just absolutely wonderful to me. And I'm going to live in this Bible. I'm going to live in these truths of the scripture. Let me give you one that I've been working on. And this is a good one. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a very good one. Let me mark my page here. Don't want to lose it. And that's in the book of Ephesians. I love this scripture. I've really got a hold of it lately. And it's really got a hold of me. Really, you know, the scripture will get a hold of you if you'll get a hold of it. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 22. And I love this. This book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. I've got to get the right chapter here. And it says, that's not the scripture I'm looking for. Galatians 5 and 22. See, I'm learning. I'm memorizing scripture. And I'm not perfect with it. I'm having to recount. And it's a little tougher maybe than it used to be. I would say it may be. That's okay. I don't mind. I can handle it. Now, the Galatians 5 and 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, oh boy, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. I've been working on memorizing that today. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. How do you crucify the flesh? You put it to death. I'm talking about number five of my points of being ready for the rapture is keeping myself pure by hiding the word of God in my mind, by writing the word of God upon the avenues of my soul, by filling my inner spirit with things in the Bible that ever warn me and ever direct me and encourage me. Oh, you won't believe how the Bible will encourage you. I love that verse. Isn't that beautiful? And they that are Christ, if you belong to Christ, you have crucified the flesh You say, I don't need to crucify the flesh. I'm saved by the blood. Well, you better read some of the Bible and find out that staying saved by the blood means you literally live in the Word and walk in the Word, and you crucify the flesh on a regular basis. That's part of the Christian life. I love that. I love that. I love living by the fruits of the Spirit. I really do. They are indeed marvelous and wonderful. And I live in them. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, how many of you walk in the Holy Ghost? How many of you are living by walking in the Holy Ghost? That's what he's talking about. Read Romans chapter 8. Read this chapter, Galatians chapter 5. Read these chapters. I'm telling you, fill your mind with the Word. That's what I'm talking about. Number 5. Number 1, loving, seeing Christ. Number 2, loving and faithful to the church. Number 3, keeping myself clean by the blood of Jesus. Number 4, winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Number 5, living in the Bible. Living in the Bible. Let the Bible be written upon the avenues of your life and your soul and your mind. If you live in this Bible, it will make you a happy person. Did you know nothing can make you happier than having the Bible ever flowing through your life and flowing through your mind? What a joy it is to just say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. You know, those kind of truths are a blessing. They are a blessing. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their trespasses. Did you know if you don't forgive other people their trespasses, God can't forgive you? Did you know that? I know many people who are so loaded with trespasses that someone has trespassed against them. They can think of nothing else. When they see the person, they just get all upset. You can't even call the person's name because it just undoes them. That's not a good English. They are undone by it. I get it right. They are undone by it when you say somebody else's name. Oh, friend, hear me. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Will you do that? Will you work on that? And number 6, I am keeping myself free from worldly compromise. One of the worst things I've watched during my years as a Christian is how many people compromise as they get older. Their children will start doing things that you never would do. And so instead of arguing with your kids, you just start doing them with them. There's many like that. I mean, I've never went to dance halls or movie picture shows. Well, I don't have any kids that do that as far as I know. If they would do it, they would let me know about it. I can tell you that right now. Our grandkids, I don't know any of them that do it. And I pray they don't. But I'm telling you, I'm never going to compromise the things that I quit doing when I got saved. I mean, there are many things. I quit smoking when I got saved. Well, you think I'm going to pick it back up? No way. How foolish would I be? So I made up my mind years ago never to compromise. Whatever the Holy Ghost has said to me, whatever the Spirit of God has put in my head, whatever Bible verse I've written upon the avenues of my life, I'm going to live by those verses of Bible, by those truths that God has taught me, by those standards of righteousness I learned long ago. I'm going to live by them until my time comes to cross over, because I love them. I love the what standards are. You know what commandments are. You know what lifestyles in the Bible are. They're just exactly like a big old hedge on the side of the highway way up in the mountains. You're in the mountains, you're going down this old crooked road, and it's kind of narrow, and you can if you look over to the side, either side, you can see thousands of feet below. What do you want beside you? You want a hedgerow. You want a big fence. You want something that your car couldn't knock over because it gives you protection. That's what the commandments of God are. That's what the great standards of the Bible are. It's a hedgerow around you. It's barriers that keep you from the dangers. It's barriers that protect you to go straight and to go right and to do right. Well, I'm going to take a moment here for some phone calls. I may have had some. My phone was ringing when the program started. And I don't know who it was, and they wouldn't quit, and so I had to turn it off. But now I've got it on. I've got 15, 17, 18 minutes, and I got one more point, and I want to take telephone calls. I want to talk about looking for Jesus to come. The phone is now open. 704-391-0588. I'm going to put up the number. 704-391-0588. That top number there. You call it, and I'll hear you, and I'll answer, and I'll talk with you on the air. Okay? Now, remember, you're on the air. So don't call if you don't want to be on the air. But grab your phone. Let's talk about looking for Jesus to come. Now, which one of these points, I've had six now, which one do you lack? Which one do you keep as your passion for the coming of the Lord? Which one of them is a conviction that holds you steady and keeps you going straight and keeps you from bearing to the right or the left? The Bible tells Christians not to turn to the right or the left. The Bible tells Christians to keep on a straight path, to keep on a direct path, to keep going in the right direction. That's a commandment of the Bible. That's a commandment of the Bible. So call me quickly. Let me answer your question for you. Grab your phone real quick. I'm not going to waste my time waiting. I'm going to get right into this point seven, but I want you to call and ask the question. You may want to disagree with me. Well, I can handle that. We all disagree with one another sometimes. That's part of life, okay? So grab your phone. I'm looking for your call. I will enjoy chatting with you now while you're calling number seven. Remember, I had 7 points, seven things I'm talking about. Number seven, I can't wait to leave this mess down here. Now, you say that's bad. No, it ain't bad. I can't wait to live as Christ, but to die is gain, Apostle Paul said. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Apostle Paul said. I can hardly wait to be present with the Lord. I'm excited about being present with the Lord. I am thoroughly excited about leaving this place. You know, I've never had that much through my life. I've always wanted to stay here as long as I can be busy for him, and I still feel that way. I still want to stay here as long as I can win souls and preach the truth and be a good shepherd, be a good headmaster for our school. I mean, I love all of that. I love every bit of it. None of it do I hate. I am given to the things of the Lord. I love the things of God. They are special to me, and I mean that. But when it's time to go, I'm ready to go. More and more, I'm getting ready to go. More and more, I think of my sweetheart, Juanita, over on the other side. And, oh, she's got so many wonderful people to love and to be close to all the things of God, to be there where actually Jesus Christ is in the presence of all the great saints. I don't know all the things. I've asked him to let me go to paradise like Paul did. Paul went and God wouldn't let him tell it. I want him to let me go and let me tell it. Wouldn't that be something to tell all of you about what I saw over on the other side? I can read the Bible and give you much good information, but there'd be something about going. Oh, great day. What a day. What a day. What a day. Grab your phone now. I want to talk with you. I want to debate with you. Just chat with you. But the rapture is about to take place. The rapture is about to take place. Jesus could come in one moment's time. I mean, in just a moment, he could be here. And would that not be grand? Can you imagine being here with the Lord being here? I'm going to take you to 1 Thessalonians. I want to read you what he told the people in his day when they was all worried about the folks that had died and what happened to them. And let me give it to you. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Did you know that? Did you know the Lord himself is coming? He's not going to send Michael or Gabriel. He's coming himself. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You say the Lord's going to shout? Well, that's what the Bible says. I believe everything the book says. How about you? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. With the voice of archangels. With the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Mama will be in front of me. My Juanita will be in front of me. What a day is that going to be? Great day. So here you see it. Apostle Paul is speaking by the Holy Ghost. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trump of God. Now, I believe the whole globe will hear the trump of God. Now, a lot of people don't agree with that. They think only the people going will hear the trump of God. I don't believe that at all. I believe everybody's going to hear the trump. I believe an old alcoholic, maybe used to be saved. He's sitting in a bar. He's got a little glass of whiskey in front of him. And all of a sudden that trumpet sounds so loud. One says it wakes up the dead. That little glass, it's light glass, you know, like they serve drinks in, and it shatters. I mean, when that blast of the trumpet rings, it shatters the glass. I would imagine windows in big stores will be shattered. I imagine all kinds of things will occur on a worldwide basis when that trumpet sounds. And I can imagine that little glass of liquor sitting in front of that backslider will break open, and the whiskey will fall in, spill in his lap, and he'll cry out, "What in the world was that?" And somebody says, "That sounds like some kind of trumpet sounding." And he remembers the Bible that he was taught when he was in church. Maybe he was a preacher man, but he's backslid. You say, "There's no preachers backslid." Don't tell me. There's a lot of backslid preachers, a multitude of backslid preachers who used to have the straight and narrow walk with God, but they compromised. The world became too much for them, and so they turned aside. Well, I'm telling you, whoever it is sitting in that bar is going to know in a moment's time the old trumpet sound, and they've missed it. And you're talking about heartbreak. You're talking about shattering. You're talking about darkness. You're talking about fear. Do you know? Let's try to talk here a minute. When this trump sounds and Jesus comes in the clouds and the raptured saints begin to ascend, and I would imagine people are going to see them going up. I would imagine it's going to be very visible. I don't think God does anything in secret. He does it all openly. There's nothing he's ashamed of. It's all for his glory. It's all for his honor. And people realize that they've been left. They know the consequence. They know that this coronavirus is not even a drop in the bucket compared to what's about to happen. They know that all kinds of things are going to happen. And people are going to die in multitudes. It won't be a few thousand. What, we've had 125,000 in America that say they've died from the coronavirus. I hear a lot of this is mistaken identity. I hear a lot of it is being used for financial gain. I don't know all of that. I can't even think about it all. I refuse to listen to any more of all of that. I'm telling you, when the Lord comes, 100,000 won't even be a drop in the bucket to the multiplied millions that are going to die in a short period of time. There won't be no way to bury the dead. They'll just bulldozers and throw them in. That'll be all they can do. You see the millions, the billions of people on the face of this earth, and millions on top of millions dying. Do you understand? A billion is I know, but I can't say it here. It's so many million. And I'm telling you, friend, you've got to hear me when I tell you it's going to be hell on earth. And if you left, there's no way for you to ever think that you want to have to go through that tribulation period. Well, I'll get saved during the tribulation period. You may be able to, but if you do, you'll have to die. I'll tell you that, because they're going to kill you. They're going to kill those people who get saved. Oh, I tell you, the devil will hate you. He'll have 7 years of freedom on this earth to do just about what he pleases. He'll be limited, of course, by the limits that the Bible has set on him. But beyond that, he'll be free to bring hell on this earth and to spew his venom and to hate every believer and to hate every... Don't go looking for a church to go to during that tribulation period, friend. If you find a church, you're not going to want to go in it. I'm telling you, if it was a good church, the enemy would be there ready to slay the crowd. And if it's a bad church, you'll just get deceived. And friend, you've got to get yourself ready now. I'm looking for Jesus. How about you? I'm looking for him any moment. He can come at any moment. Let me read on here a minute. This is so good. And I want you to get it in your heart. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Then we which are alive and remain. If the rapture would come right now, that's us. We which are alive and remain. We're right here. I'm sitting here on the radio, internet, Facebook, doing my best to warn and almost beg you to turn to Christ. Oh, I would love to have every sinner in Charlotte to try to get in a good Bible-believing church tomorrow. I would love to have as many as would be able to be seated in our church to come and say, I'm coming to get saved, Reverend Chambers. I'm coming to get saved. That's about to happen, see. I believe we're on the verge of a river of grace flowing in the church, the true church. And churches that are now in all kinds of false doctrines, if they repent, they'll become a place of revival. Yes, any church, and whatever their doctrine is, if they repent, if they get right back in the Bible, get right back. See, this river will clean everything it passes. Every little spirit it penetrates. Every church it makes its way through. Any pastor that says, I've missed it, but now I'm going to preach it straight and right, God's revival will come to that preacher, man, and we'll see revival. I'm looking for it in the moment to start in all his glory. I really am. I'm going to be in the middle of it. You can mark it down in your book. Joe Chambers is going to be in the middle of it. I am striving with all this in me to once again discover that faith once delivered to the saints. I want Pentecost like the book of Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3 and 4 and on and on. I want it old fashioned, and I want you to be in the middle of it. I want you to get on fire for God, get on fire for the Lord and his graces. Oh, my friend, it's worthwhile. It's worth all you might. You say, I can't live that godly life. Oh, yes, you can. He'll live it in you. See, you don't have to live right when you get saved. He'll live right in you if you'll furnish the man. He'll furnish the grace. Now, you got to furnish the man. You got to be willing to say no to sin. You got to be willing to turn from the things of the world. You got to be willing to walk straight according to this Bible. But let me read on. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. I like that. The dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Are you looking? What if today, this very afternoon, let's say 4 o'clock, suddenly a great trump would sound in the heavens above us, and the clouds would begin to roll back, and in the midst of these clouds would appear the great Lord, the great Christ, the great Savior, visible to the whole globe at one time. That's marvelous. How do you understand that? I don't understand it. I just preach it. I just preach what the book says, and he'll take care of the rest. See, we don't have to understand everything in the Bible. We just live by it. We just do what it says. We just preach the old truths. And he'll take care of the rest. Woo. When somebody says the trump's going to sound, everybody on the face of the globe is going to hear the trump. Did you know in the book of Revelation 4, the Bible says the trumpet is a talking trumpet? Let me interpret that for you in my interpretation. You may have a different one because these are things that we can see differently. The plain word we can't see differently. But the effect of certain things we might see differently. What I believe when he says the trumpet is talking, that he's saying to every man according to them. If it's a sinner, he is pronouncing a woe. If it's a saint, he's pronouncing a hallelujah. If it's somebody who needs to repent, is screaming repent to them. They can't go even though they repent because the rapture's taking place and he's coming and it's too late to repent. Once that trumpet sounds, only those who are ready when the trumpet sounds are going to go. Are you hearing me? And you must get ready. Oh, the time is leaving me here. I'm trying my best to finish, and the phone hasn't rung. Why aren't you calling? I thought somebody would at least be mad enough to call me and disagree. Well, I'm not saying anything. It's not biblical, though. I mean, I'm just giving you what the Bible says. 7 things. You can have a copy of this if you'll simply call the office on Monday. and you can get these seven things. They'll be on the internet in a few days. We had a problem with our internet. Excuse me. With our internet program, and we have the man ready to fix it either Monday or Tuesday. So if you're listening and you've had some trouble with the internet, it's going to be solved. I think everything's been going wrong these last months. I think internet itself has been overloaded. That's what they're telling me anyway. And it's just like everything you go to do, you got difficulties, and it's not quite as simple as it used to be. Okay, it'll be all right. We're going to make it, and Jesus is coming. That's going to solve everything for me. And that's going to solve everything for you that are ready. It's going to multiply your difficulties if you're not ready. But it's going to be wonderful if you are ready. And so I'm saying to all of you, either get ready or get ready to suffer. Get ready to endure hell on earth. Get ready to go through the toughest time of human life. And you can get ready right now. Fall on your knees wherever you are. Stop the car. Bend over the steering wheel. Get out and kneel beside the road. It don't matter with me. It don't make any difference what the world thinks. Get yourself right with God. Repent of your sins right now. Why don't we have a repentance time right now? That'd be good. Got about 3 minutes here, and I'd like to have people repented. I really would. I'd like to have people getting right with God. Getting right with God. It's time to get right with God, my friend. The time is short, and you can repent of your sins. If you know that Jesus' blood was shed for your sins, and you know that you have been a sinner, you are a sinner, and you're willing to say, I'm turning from my sins. I'm repenting right now. I'm turning my life over to Christ, and I'm going to live a Christian life. With God's help, I'm going to go to the house of God tomorrow. We'd love to have you. There are many of you that could come. You'd love Paul Creek. You really would. And so we welcome you. 5110 Tuckasegee Road. You got that? 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Get yourself in the house of God. Get on your knees. I'm going to preach this very sermon thoughts. They'll be quite different. There'll be more scripture. There'll be more information. It'll be a sermon that I think will be a blessing. And I'd love to have you. You'd be welcome. You got to sanitize your hands when you come in the door. You got to stay seated 6 feet apart. The offering plate, it don't pass. You'll have to walk to the altar carefully to put your offering in, your tithe in. And you can visit us tomorrow. I guarantee you the atmosphere will be sanitized. This whole place will be sanitized. And you cannot enter if you don't sanitize your hands. I promise you, if you want to wear a mask, that's perfectly fine. You may wear your mask. That's in your hands. But be in the house of God tomorrow. I beg of you, be in the house of God tomorrow. You will be glad you came. I believe that with all of my heart. You will be glad you came, and you will be blessed by coming. I promise you that. Now, I'm going to share a little more of that song. The trumpet's about to sound. Oh, Jesus is about to appear. What a glorious moment that's going to be. What a glorious moment that's going to be. Well, we've got one last minute here. God bless you. We love you. I'm praying for you. Every one of you lost, I'm praying for you. Every one of you lost. I don't want you to go to hell. I promise you, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to miss that rapture and have to try to get saved during the tribulation period. You will be able to, but it'll be costly. I'm telling you, the Bible says you got to love life and the death when you get saved during that tribulation period. That means they're going to put you to death. They can find you, and they'll find you. I mean, you can't hide from nothing from nobody anymore. I hope you already know that. Well, I love you. It's been a joy to minister to you. You're special to me. I promise you, you are special to me. Is this thing playing? I hope it is. It is. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Listen.
The King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, and broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free, little children.
To see.